This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely thrilled, delighted, and blessed, privileged, honored to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. We love to share with you, and we love for you to share with us. That's why we invite you to use our toll-free number right here in North America to contact us here on Women of Grace Live. Let me give you that number. It is toll-free, as I mentioned to you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It is the way that you can join us right here on our program today as we discuss issues important to your life and faith and have that holy conversation. Also want to let you know we're available to you outside of North America, and I've got a number for you. Begins with a country code. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. I'm hoping that you, in listening to me every day, give you those numbers, can recite them with me, which means that you have memorized them, which means they're at the ready for you to call us with any question you might have, or as the Holy Spirit prompts you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prompts you to call, and you're saying, why would you want me to mention that on the air today? Well, it's because somebody out there needs to hear it. Maybe I need to hear it too, you know? And so we move with those promptings of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit prompts you, and how do you know how that is? Well, sometimes, you know, your heart starts to beat really fast, or the palms of your hands get a little sweaty, right? Or you're feeling like, oh my, suddenly I'm a little fluttered inside. And then you're saying, oh no, I don't want to do this. You can be certain it's the Holy Spirit prompting you to give a call today. And it's because he wants to use you as an instrument of his divine life. We are all conduits of grace for the Lord. Yes, we are. Those of us who are baptized and in a state of grace are called into the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ by way of that baptism, by way of that sanctifying grace in our souls. And he wants to use us as these mighty channels of his grace today. There's a word that's I've been hearing for, maybe the last 3 or 4 years in charismatic circles. And it's talking about, what we would look at as a natural disaster. And it could be in a certain way. I'm going to explain this to you. And the word is, you know, God wants to tsunami us. Well, we know that a tsunami, it can be very, very destructive, right? It can destroy lands. It can destroy homes. It can take the lives of people. And so what does God want to do? Years ago, years ago, I can't even tell you how many years ago, but this has got to be back in the 1990s anyway. For sure, it's back in the 1990s. And I had this dream, kind of like vision thing that was going on. And I saw this tsunami. And I saw this tsunami coming upon the earth. And I said, Lord, this is a tsunami. This is not a good thing. And he said, yes, my love is so intense. Listen to this. My love is so intense that if my love was to rain down on the world all in one fell swoop, the world would be crushed by it. People would not be able to stand up underneath that. He said, my daughter, I am looking for channels of my love, men and women who will say yes to me and will allow a portion of my love for my children to flow through them out into the world in quantities and amounts that my children can receive without destruction. Is that amazing? Think about it. I mean, don't you sometimes, when you look at a little baby or you look at your spouse, you look at one of your children, you know, your heart just swells sometimes in prayer. You know, your heart swells with such love and such a great intensity that you have to say, Lord, please stop. Or you think that your heart's going to burst. We even use that expression. Oh, I love this man so much. I love this woman so much. I love my children so much. I look at this little baby and I think my heart is going to burst, right? Well, it's that kind of a thing. God's love is so intense for us that it would burst us. And so he's looking for men and women who will be these channels of grace, right? And it is a tsunami of love that he wants us to receive. And we look out on the world today and it's all bleak and there's a lot of stuff going on and we're tempted to become very despairing. You know, that's the evil one. Anytime you feel great sadness, anytime you you feel great regret. You know, anytime you enter into fallacious thinking, thinking that is not, accurate, or even specious thinking, you know, that are kind of like arguments that sound really plausible, but when you investigate them, they're just filled with nothing. They're sawdust. You know, anytime that takes place, anytime you sense this great discouragement, you know, or a depression that's not a clinical depression, although I will say that I think that some clinical depressions, because of the body-soul component, you know, we are this composite of body and soul. We're not a soul in a body, and we're not a body that has a soul. No, we are one. We can't even understand it quite frankly, but nonetheless, is we're this composite. So what's happening in the soul affects the body. What's happening in the body affects the soul. And I think that sometimes the depression that is so rampant in our day and time is a depression that's coming, you know, from a soul sickness. It's a sickness of the soul, right? That's why we go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Psyche coming from the Greek, which means soul. It's a problem with a soul, you know. And yeah, you know, there's chemical realities in the brain and that stuff. But what comes first, the chicken or the egg? We don't really know. You know, I'm not suggesting you come off of your medication or anything. But what I am saying is that, you know, all of these things can be signs, right? Hoof prints of the evil one. Now, God will permit that for a greater good, right? The evil one, number one, the evil one has no power over us unless we give him power. And number two, you know, God, the evil one has only as much reign, R-E-I-N, only as much reign in the world as God gives to him, right? So he's on a short leash. You know, the Lord can pull him back. But if the Lord permits it, it's because he wants to work a greater good out of it, maybe a good that could not have happened had this not occurred, or he's preventing an even worse thing from occurring, right? And you can look back in your life, and I'm guessing, like, if you're, you know, really kind of introspective about it, not in a self-focused way, but in a type of contemplation guided by the Holy Spirit, you can see that the suffering that God permitted in your life, or the reversal or the trial, really yielded fruit, great fruit for you spiritually, in your natural life as well, you know? And that's what God does. He does these things. So all of that to say, you know, we are individuals who have been called by God for a purpose, for such a time as this, to be about the business of being these channels, conduits of grace, his divine life in the world today. And that's an exciting thing. That's a very exciting thing. And how does this occur? Well, this occurs through the power of the Holy Spirit. Say that. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope you're all saying that out there, through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit comes upon us, right? And he uses us. And sometimes he uses us without us even realizing we're being used. And other times he lets us in on it a little bit so that we are encouraged to move forward in it, edified, encouraged to move forward in it, right? Because he needs us. So he lets us see the small victories that are attained through us only for the purpose of encouraging us to move forward so that we have greater perseverance and greater fortitude. But sometimes he shrouds it and we can't see it at all. Well, why is it that the Lord sometimes shrouds it and we can't see it at all? Well, first of all, because he doesn't want us to become puffed up. He doesn't want us to think it's our work and not his work. Second of all, because he really wants to train us up in the virtues. And what virtues? Perseverance, long-suffering, fortitude, courage, right? He wants us to love him even when we don't see him or feel him. And he wants us to be about his work even when we're not seeing the fruit of that work. Amen? That's what he wants today. So I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you in that. And I want to hear how the Holy Spirit has used you. I want to know about it today. And let me give you that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. We're coming right back. Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I was at a charismatic conference this weekend. I don't know if you can tell. I was presenting there in Little Rock, Arkansas, at the Arkansas Catholic Charismatic Renewal's 50th anniversary. 50 years, the Charismatic Renewal has been going there in Little Rock, Arkansas, and it was just an absolutely blessed and wonderful weekend. I want to thank publicly all of the conference coordinators that did just a marvelous job of pulling this event together. You know, just an opportunity, I think, to really serve the Lord by serving his people, and they were that. They were servants with servants' hearts, and it was a wonderful opportunity to meet up with my dear friend, Father Philip Philip Scott, a great man of God, as well as one of his confreres in his religious order, Family of Jesus, Father Jose Maria. He was just absolutely delightful in every way. I had never met him before. And, there was really a current of the Holy Spirit that was there. And it was beautiful to see how the Holy Spirit worked our talks together. Obviously, speakers don't typically call each other up on the phone and say, well, you say this and I say this. These things are very, very unscripted. And none of us use notes. So, we're just listening to each other's talk. We're listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying through those talks. And then, we're open to how the Holy Spirit wants to move. And he does. And so what happened was there were certain themes that continued to emerge that were elaborated on from one to the other, right? And some those themes were beautiful themes. And they were really themes of encouragement. They were really themes of perseverance. They were themes of faith, walking in faith and how to walk in faith and how to face the challenges that we face. They were themes of God's healing and his mercy. God was telling us, I think through these talks and through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, most especially through the healing service that took place, the opportunities for confession, that he wants nothing to burden us, and he doesn't want us to burden ourselves, with our own sins or with the sins that have been committed against us, that this is indeed a time of this outpouring of God's divine life, an outpouring of God's divine love. He does want a tsunami us, and he's looking for men and women who will really just kind of belly up to the bar and say, yes, Lord, use me. And I am firmly convinced that each one of you listening today, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, God is calling you to be a minister of his divine life in the world today. And by this, I don't mean an ecclesial minister. I mean a minister of the laity. I mean an individual open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit who moves in that grace, and who moves in the attentive virtues to all of that, justice, prudence, temperance, fortitude, and all of the other, those are their cardinal virtues, but all of the other, who are truly trying to stay away from the near occasions of sin, to prevent themselves from committing mortal sin through the cooperation of grace, to be raised up in this our day and time to be the face of Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs. It needs the face of Jesus Christ, and he's going to shine through your face if you give fiat to that, and he's already been doing it. He's already been doing it. And that's why I'm inviting you. Give us a call today. Let me know how the Holy Spirit's been working in you. Let all of our listeners know, because it edifies us and builds us up and it sets us out, right? It sets us out on mission, the mission that God's entrusted to us, which typically takes place in form through our daily lives. We don't have to go far. I've got so much I want to share with you, but I want to hear from you. I really, really do. I want to hear from you. Yes, I do. And here's the toll-free number for you to use. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. I am inviting you to call us. Now, I'm going to go to the phone lines in just a moment, but I don't want for us to forget that indeed, we are in this beautiful, beautiful time of focusing on the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the month for that. This is July, and July is the month of the precious blood, where Holy Mother Church helps for us to focus our attention on the blood of Jesus. Every month has a different theme, if you will. And this month, that is the theme. And there is a beautiful prayer that is given to us by St. Ignatius of Loyola, and it's called Anima Christi. And this Anima Christi is this beautiful prayer that is all about the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to pray this together as we move into this segment of the program, and then I'm going to go straight to the phone lines. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from Christ's side, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me and bid me come unto thee, that I may praise thee with thy saints and with thy angels forever and ever. Amen. When we look and enter into meditation and contemplation of the tortured body of our Lord Jesus Christ through his passion, we see there the blood poured out for each one of us, this divine life being expended for us that we might know salvation. And this prayer reminds us of this reality, and it's a beautiful one. It's been around from around, I guess, the it's saying here, the 14th century. It's still very widely used after receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. And it's available for you out there at EWTN's website. Just put in, you know, you can just go to EWTN.com in the search engine, put in Anima, A-N-I-M-A, very phonetic, Christi, C-H-R-I-S-T-I, Christ with an I on the end, and the prayer will come up for you. And so, Lord, we do thank you for your most precious blood that does inebriate us, Lord, that does wash us clean, Lord, that does fill us with the hope of resurrection, that does fill us with the hope of receiving the fullness of your divine life, which fills us with the hope of our eternal abode with you and life on high with you. We thank you and we praise you for this. Amen. All right, we're going to go to those phone lines there. And here we have Paulette. Paulette is a first-time caller. She's calling us from Bowling Green, Missouri today. And we're going to ring our bell for her. Good morning, Paulette. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Johnette.
Good morning.
Yes. Good to hear from you. And I'm loving your show this morning.
Thank you.
Our news today... you know, I don't always look at the gospel readings and the feast days, but this morning, somehow I was prompted to do that, and the feast day is for Joachim and Anne, the parents of the Blessed Virgin.
How
and
beautiful!
In about 30 minutes, we're going to get the deed to a house, and this is a maternity home, and we called it Anne's house.
Oh, my goodness!
I couldn't believe it this morning. So we've been working. We started a pregnancy center in our community, and then shortly after we started the pregnancy center, we realized there were women who were in kind of precarious living conditions. And so a group of three of us stepped away and formed another group. And we called it Anne's House. And, you know, one of the girls said, you know, I'm really close to the Blessed Virgin's mother. Let's name it after her. And I said, well, that's okay. And so today we get the deed. We were gifted a house from another church. And today we get the deed in about 30 minutes.
Oh, my goodness, Paulette. Well, I'll tell you what, this is indeed a tremendous Holy Spirit moment. You know, nothing is by accident. Everything is by God's plan. And the fact that this is the chosen name for this pregnancy center, and this is the feast day of St. Joachim and Anne, the parents of Our Lady, is by no coincidence whatsoever. You know, this has been in the mind and the heart of God since before the very foundations of the world were laid in place. And he simply wanted to delight you. And I also think he wants to affirm you most definitely in this mission that you're about. And I do think that St. Joachim and Anne are very much involved with this project and certainly do want to be your very special patrons. So I do hope that in some way, you know, there will be some honor, tribute shown to them, maybe through a picture, you know, somewhere in a key area of this home that you're getting in 30 minutes. And, you know, that it can be a holy reminder of the importance of life. You know, there's Anne, and she's carrying our Blessed Lady in her womb, and Blessed Lady is going to carry our Lord in her womb, and each one of us, you know, carried in the wombs of our mothers. So thank you. First of all, thank you so much for your fiat to God. Thank you so much for having the courage and the faith to step out in a big way into this mission. And third of all, thank you, you know, for raising our attention and awareness to, you know, the need for life, the need for missions like this in the world today, and bringing the divine life to all of these women who will come because they are in dire straits and certainly need to know that God is with them. Thank you, Paula. This is lovely. What a way to start us off talking about the Holy Spirit today.
I know. It's been, you know, 7 years ago, I was sitting in church. This is the backstory, if you have time for it. 7 years ago, I was sitting in church, and I think it was a weekday mass. And our priest said, And it must have been in January, around the March for Life. And he said, "What are you doing to save babies?" And I, you know, I sat in the pew and I went, I give money to the local pro-life group. And I pray for mothers. But that was about it. So, you know, I got a group of people together, and I wasn't the only one. There was a whole group of people. We started the pregnancy center. And then out of that pregnancy center has grown this maternity home. So, you know, it's been a lot of hard work. And, you know, there are days that you think, is it really worth it? You know, this is a lot of struggle. Some people don't support you. And, you know, but today I feel a little blessed.
Oh, well, you should. And, you know, and again, you know, when God gives us these signal graces, which is what this is, it's a signal grace, it's a kiss from heaven, you know, it's for a purpose, you know, and it becomes part of our salvation history, our personal salvation history. But also, you know, when he's calling us into a very specific mission, like he's called you into, it's part of the salvation history of that mission. And he gives it as these signal graces for a reason. He wants us to be able to look back on these in times of discouragement, in times of frustration. We're human persons. We all can experience this. We just can't stay there because these are attacks of the enemy and we just got to rise above it. And we can because God gives us the grace to do so. And one of the tools that he uses all of the time is praise. I mean, when we're discouraged, we're depressed, we're frustrated, you know, we feel like we've been slapped upside the head. We have to go right into praise because, and I can explain all that if anybody wants to know out there, just call in and ask and I'll explain it. But the fact of the matter is, he gives us these signal graces so that we can look back on these and say, okay, right now I'm having a tough time, but I saw this, I remember this, I see this, and God was there. He gave me his certitude. He showed me in no uncertain terms through this, and this that the mission's going to go forward. And there's that beautiful passage in Scripture, just to remind you of this. And I've thought about this many, many times in all of these many, many years that I've been involved in apostolic work, going all the way back to, like, I don't know, 1984 or something like that, maybe before that even, 81 probably, when I came into the renewal and got involved in my prayer community. But going all the way back to that time, there's this passage in Scripture where the Lord says, you know, when I will open a door that no one can shut. You know, if it's of the Lord and he opens the door, nobody's going to shut it. It doesn't mean that the gates of hell aren't going to try to prevail against it. You know, Jesus tells us that. I think it's in Luke's gospel that the gates of hell would try to prevail against his church. Well, you know, there is a corollary to that for those of us that are in mission in significant ways. He's going to try to shut us down. But when God opens that door, nope. No one's going to shut it, and the devil's not going to shut it working through his instruments. Absolutely not. But the Lord will permit it, you know, to strengthen us in virtue. So I am very pleased for you today. And you know, we're just going to just pray a little prayer for you. Father God, we thank you for your daughter, Paulette, who heard the word of this courageous priest who was willing to preach from the pulpit. You know, what are you doing to save the lives of babies in the wombs of their mother? What a courageous priest. We need more of that, Lord. So I ask that you raise up more courageous priests to issue forth, you know, these challenges to our faith. And your daughter, Paulette, received this. She was pierced, Lord. She experienced that grace of compunction that moved her forward into this mission and all of those who have come alongside of her, Father. We thank you and praise you for the work that you have done in them. And we thank you and praise you even more for the work that you're going to do through them, Lord God. And the numbers of children whose lives are going to be saved, Lord. And the number of women who are going to get the help that they need to be able to sustain them during their time of trial. Father God, we thank you for this great mission that you're calling forth today. We ask abundant blessings on it. We ask the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We ask that all of the angels would attend to them. And I do see that, Paulette. I really just see that the Lord is sending down angels, and I just see them surrounding this house. Father God, we thank you for this. We thank you for the graces that are pouring down from the heavenlies right this very moment on this. And I just sense that is that as that deed is transferred into your hands, Paulette, it's a deed to this home. But it is also, it is more than that. God is passing graces to you. He's passing graces to you. So when you receive that deed, see that as the grace that God is giving to you to move forward in this. And that's the sense that I have, that coming with this deed are coming abundant graces for you to move forward in, and for these graces to move forward in you. And I pray this also, Lord. I pray that you give her all of the gifts that she needs in terms of management, in terms of insight, in terms of wisdom, in terms of administration, in terms of empathy, Lord. I ask that all of these graces would be dispensed upon her and upon all of those who will work with her. Father God, we pray protection for them. We pray against any kind of spirits of confusion, spirits of doubt, spirits of dissembling, Lord, spirits that would want to come in and create havoc and trouble. We come against any kind of a Jezebel spirit in this, Father God. And we just ask that there would be these angels that I see surrounding this home, warrior angels, Lord, that would fight off any attempts that come from the pit of hell to destroy the work that you are raising up. And we offer this prayer to you as we offer all of our prayers in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. And I see Our Lady's mantle just floating down from heaven, Paulette, over this house. And I thank you, Mother. I thank you for your maternal beatitude and for your maternal protection that is just so beautiful. Joachim and Anne standing there and just smiling. Thank you, Paulette, for giving us the opportunity to share in your joy and the launching of this beautiful, beautiful mission that God's called up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. God bless you now. Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is working. Let him work through you today. Give us a call. Tell us how the Holy Spirit's worked in your life, or, you know, anything else that's going on in your mind, because we don't want you to be unduly burdened. If we can help, we're here to do that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We're coming right back. You hear that music? It's great to be with you. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're glad that you're back with us. If you're just joining us, I want to welcome you to the program today. I want to let you know that we're very eager to hear from you because, well, frankly, we just love to talk to you. We certainly do. Let me give you that number that you can use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up and punch those numbers in, and it's going to put you in touch with Charles Beery, who is our call screener, and he is eager to hear from you, and you make him happy when you call, and you make me happy too. If you're a first-timer, we want to know about it, and the way that you do that is by telling him that you're a first-time caller, and I ring my welcome bell, which I'm ringing for you right now. Jeff Burson is our social media manager, and he is also our producer, about which I'm very, very happy and pleased. We invite you to go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There's a chat feature there. You can leave your question or comment there, and we'll take it. Jeff grabs it and retrieves it for us, and we are able to address what's going on in your life today. Talking about the Holy Spirit today, I am extremely excited to talk about the Holy Spirit. We was telling you in the first part of the break that I was out in Arkansas this weekend in Little Rock for a charismatic conference, celebration of the 50th anniversary, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time in the Lord. And I think that, you know, I think I think I'm giving you, you know, a whole lot of the second part of my talk that I didn't get a chance to give because I just went on with the first part of the talk. So you're getting some of what the overflow of all of this, let's put it that way. So, but I do want to hear from you. you're the backbone of this program. So I certainly do invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Also, another way that you can join us if you're outside of North America is by using this number. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Kathy called a little earlier today and she didn't stay on the line, but she had a question. She was concerned about her sister who had had an abortion. She wanted to know, since how her sister could make things right with the church since she had been excommunicated. Well, you know, let's talk about this. Anytime we commit a mortal sin, we excommunicate ourselves from the church. This is not a penal action that the church takes against us. This is our breaking with the fellowship of the mystical body of Christ on earth. And that happens through mortal sin. You know, mortal sin deals a death blow to our soul. It breaks off our relationship with God, and in breaking off our relationship with God, we break off our relationship with his mystical body. And that mystical body is the church, right? So every time we commit a mortal sin, that occurs. So, you know, this is not an action that, for example, the church might take against a theologian who is preaching heresy, right? And they don't make those moves lightly, by the way. This is us excommunicating ourselves from the church by way of our actions and our sinfulness. There's an easy solution, Kathy, a very easy solution. Your sister simply needs to go to the sacrament of confession. When we go to the sacrament of confession, it's like a mini resurrection in the sense of God's divine grace raises our soul, you know, from the death throes of sin and brings us back into fellowship with him by way of the divine life flowing through that sacrament into our soul. Now, what's the conditions? It's got to be a good confession. By that, we're not hiding any sin because of shame. It has to be a good confession. We have to be sincerely sorry. We have to be remorseful for the sin that we committed. True sorrow for that sin. You know, this is not a spin around the washing machine here. This is an intentionality of our being that we don't want to sin anymore. So we have to be truly sorry for that sin. And then we have to make that promise. I'm going to stay away from the near occasions of sin. You know, I have a firm purpose of amendment here, and I'm going to amend my life. And I'm not going to put myself into situations similar again. So if your sister goes to the sacrament of reconciliation, makes a good confession, is sincerely sorry, makes a firm purpose of amendment, you know, her soul is raised from the dead, so to speak. And she comes back into fellowship with God. And by virtue of that, she comes back into fellowship with his church. And that applies not just to the sin of abortion. It applies to any mortal sin that we commit. Okay, so that's the news for all of you out there as well. This is what God desires, and this is what God wants for us. We also have Jane with us. She's a first-time caller. She's in Ringwood, New Jersey. I'm eager for her to be with us today, and I'm eager for you to be with us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Janet. I'm very well. Thank you.
Good.
I have a question. Thanks. I have a question regarding discerning and evaluating risks involved in decision making.
Okay.
Regarding travel. So, which links to your acronym for FEAR.
Okay.
So, are the risks false evidence? So if I'm thinking, so if I make my list of pros and cons, because I really benefited a lot from your analysis of, I believe, Ignatian Four Steps of Discernment and so forth. You did that months ago, or you do that frequently, and I really gain much information and insight from that.
Good.
But now connecting risks on my pro and con list, are those pieces of false evidence appearing real?
So, you know, here's the question I have. So if I understand correctly, Jane, you have, you know, an opportunity or an impending trip coming up, and
yes,
you are questioned. Yeah. Okay. And so what you want to know is, should you do this? And obviously you're going to travel there by public transportation, maybe a plane or something outside of your car or what? How are you getting to where you're going?
Oh, so it would be international, and I'd probably be on my own. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, you know, first of all, I want to compliment you on something, and I want to compliment you on your prudence, the virtue of prudence that you're exhibiting here. You know, this is beautiful because what does prudence mean? Prudence is really, using the grace of God to determine our action and evaluating it according to what is good and what is not good, what the pros and what the cons are. And that's part of that Ignatian role of discernment, you know, the three steps that I give for that were given to me by Father Mitch, so I trust them implicitly. So you've done your list of pros and cons, and typically what that means is if the pros outweigh the cons, we move forward. But, you know, we've got to be very careful to put all of the pros down and all of the cons down. When it comes to the COVID environment that we're living in today, this is what I think. I think COVID exists. I think it's real. I don't think that that's false evidence appearing real. I think that, you know, it actually does exist. And I think that I also believe that it is very contagious. And we've seen that. That's the reality of it all. But I also think that alongside of this, there has been a lot of fear-mongering going on. I think that it's been tremendously hyped up. And I think that that is false evidence appearing real. We've got conflicting reports out there. A lot of the evidence that suggests that, you know, this is manageable really doesn't make it into the headlines of television news or into the papers or onto the internet, because a lot of it is suppressed. What we know is that the majority of people recover from COVID. It's like a 98 or 99, I think it's 98% recovery rate. Okay, well, you know, that's a pretty good recovery rate. If the statistics seem a little higher than the flu, which they may be or may not be, then it's because of the contagious factor. So the number might go up, but it's the same percentage, right? The percentage of people that get it. There might be greater numbers of people getting it, but the percentage is the same. So when we evaluate the percentage of people who have died from COVID against the number of people who have contracted COVID, we see that it's a small amount. And we also know that that's primarily segmented to a certain portion of the population, people that have comorbidities and people that are, or more, and we could even call it comorbidity if you want to, age, right? It's people that are of a certain age, and it's people that have different things presenting with it. So we look at all of that and we evaluate it and we say, okay, so what are my chances? Weighing this against that, what are my chances? And some people have been vaccinated, right? And so, you know, that is supposed to present, you know, a further insulation from this. And yet, you know, I think we need to exercise prudence with regard to that, too. And evaluate for ourselves, you know, is this for me or is this not for me? And the Holy Mother Church leaves us open to make that decision for ourselves. The church has said that. You can decide one way or the other. You want to be certain of what it is that you're deciding. And we must remember that if we receive the vaccination, we've got to make some kind of major protest against the use of cell lines that have come from aborted children. Two aborted children. So, you know, I wonder what percentage of the population who are Catholic that have gotten the vaccine have taken the time to do that. That's implicit in what the church says. So I think we evaluate all that. And then I think that we move in the grace of God. And I think we pray about whether or not, you know, is God calling me to this? You know, I traveled this past weekend, traveled on planes along with my husband. And, you know, I'm not going to let COVID stop me from mission. You know, I've often said,
I was not so focused on COVID, actually.
What were you
focused? Or I was thinking about there are other risks inherent in international travel. There's safety issues. Mm-hmm. There's theft, you know, petty theft, theft issues.
Oh, okay.
There's
just the usual
travel,
risks.
A lot of train. Yes, the train travel and so forth. Doing this in a solo fashion.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I was wondering, are these risks just my exploding in my mind based on past experience?
Okay.
Or is this false evidence? How does this fit in?
Okay, well, this is important. You know, the fact that you're traveling alone, I think it's always well advised to travel with somebody just because. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's always well advised. If you are you traveling with a group, or are you going on pilgrimage, or is this something you're striking out on your own?
No, striking on my own.
Okay. Well, I don't necessarily think that, you know, listen, We take a risk every day waking up and getting out of bed and moving forward.
Exactly. That's how I think.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to look at that too. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, to what extent is it likely that something like this would happen? I think it's important for us to stay in touch with somebody if we're going to go anywhere by ourselves. I think it's very important for us to be aware of what's going on around us, aware of our environment. I think it behooves us to walk with a real sense of purpose, not to make ourselves look conspicuous out there. In any way, even as a conspicuous tourist, we don't want to look like a conspicuous tourist in some way. And then I think that we have to just look. You talk about past experience. I don't know what's gone on in the past, but I think that it's important to look at all of that and make a decision, you know, based on that. If you were my daughter, and one of them called and said, okay, so I'm going to Europe on my own. As a mom, I would be a little concerned. You know, I would say, can't you go with a friend? Isn't there somebody else who can go with you? I would probably say that. I think that that's a safer thing to do, just in general. But I don't know if it should stop you. I think it depends upon, you know, that the way in which the Holy Spirit is moving you. And sometimes our emotions can get in the way of discerning that, either with overconfidence or with, you know, fear.
Right.
So I don't know that I'm really helping
right.
you here, but
go ahead. But no, you're right, because the fear comes in and then I wonder, is that just the evil one creating these scenarios
mm-hmm.
of risk? Are they exaggerations? Are they false? So that's
where are you going,
thinking.
Jane?
Yeah.
Where are you planning to go?
Perhaps Italy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so it was just, you know, it just struck me the other day through prayer that, well, maybe the risks is false evidence appearing real or not, you know, and again, they're... That was the link I was trying to make. But no, yes,
well,
you did help because it
good.
Is still a discerning process.
Well, let me
go
say
ahead.
This. Maybe this will help you too. The risks are real. There are risks. There are
yes.
risks anytime
mm-hmm.
we travel internationally. Things can happen. And we know that they do happen. So the risk is real. Now, the question is the trip worth the risk? And that's what you have to discern. Is the trip worth the risk? Now, the risk is a risk. It doesn't mean anything's going to happen. Something could happen. We know that anytime we travel, you know, something could happen. Like when I went to Arkansas this weekend, something could have happened on the plane. Is the risk worth it? Is the trip worth the risk? That's the way to phrase it. And that's what you have to discern, you know, are the benefits, do the benefits outweigh the element of risk? And only you know that, because only you know what is your intention in going there and why you're going there and what you're hoping to accomplish there and what you're looking for once you get there. Only you can evaluate that. And so I think that, you know, once you go through that process, I think that you're going to come up with a decision that's going to work for you.
Okay.
And I can't help you
yeah.
any more than that. And I, you know, I
no,
ask for the
great.
Holy Spirit. You know, ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Ask for our Blessed Lady. She is your spiritual mother, right? And
okay.
ask her, say, Mom, mm-hmm. you know, help me because I'm confused and I need to know. Make it very clear to me. You know, I don't
yeah.
think it's bad to ask for a sign once in a while. You know, put a little fleece out there and see. I'll just share this with you very quickly. And then I've got to go on to the next caller. But let me just share this with you very, very quickly. When COVID was breaking... Initially, I was scheduled to do a conference at sea for a group. I had also recently been diagnosed with a health condition, and I was waiting for the results of that to see what it was that I had. Fortunately, through the grace of God, all is pretty good. And so I didn't know if I should go, one, because COVID was breaking, two, because I really didn't know what the state of my health was in that moment. And so I did. I put a fleece out to the Lord, and I said, listen, Lord, here's the deal. Not supposed to get the results of this testing back for like 10 days. I have to leave before that if I'm going to go on this trip. If you want me to go on the trip, I'll go. Absolutely go, hands down. But you've got to make it clear. And here's what I would like for you to do for me, if it's within your holy will. I would like for me to get those test results back soon. sooner than the doctor and the lab are saying they're going to come back. And then if all is well there, then I'm going to go because I don't want anything to impede the call that you've given me. But I also want to exercise prudence. Like if I need to do something immediately, I want to be able to get on that. That was not the case. Again, praise be to God. So all of that being said, I got a phone call within a couple of days when I shouldn't have gotten it like for 8 more days. And all was well. So that was a sign. So I left and went on the cruise along with my husband. And here we are. So, you know, I think sometimes you can ask, please make it very clear to me in a way that I'll understand and know. And he'll do that for you.
So much. You spent so much time with me. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Well, God bless you. And let us know what you decide, because we'll pray for you the whole way through if you decide to go.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank
you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Right. Okay, bye-bye now. Let's get to Donna. She's in Essex, Vermont today. Good morning to you, Donna.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I am actually an affiliate from the Catholic Radio family. Calling
good.
From Our Lady of Perpetual Health in Vermont.
Oh.
And I'm asking for prayer for my EWTN family.
Okay.
I really need affiliates to be reached and double down in some prayer for healing and conversion. My daughter, Evangeline, was hit by lightning at the Grand Canyon, and she is in the Maricopa Burn Center in Arizona right now in Phoenix, and she is suffering. She has burns from her. She received a direct hit. There were others that got splashed, but she got the direct hit. And the lightning came from a monsoon extremely far away and out of nowhere.
Oh,
it just came from out of nowhere. And everybody was shocked because it was sunny and there was a couple clouds and they could see a storm brewing. And she got struck by lightning. And she has burns on her face and chest and arms and an exit wound out her foot. And she has been in excruciating pain, and they normally with burns they wait 72 hours to assess to see whether they're going to do surgery or not, because these burns can change. A second degree burn will often change to a third degree burn, and I sent a priest in on Thursday night for the anointing of the sick, and at her next bandage change, her third degree burn changed to second degree burns, which is really, really rare. And I just wanted to proclaim the power of the sacrament and to never deny those sacraments and to just know that it is Jesus talking to you and touching you. You are holding on to his cloak. And I just wanted to proclaim that. I wanted to also say that there was a beautiful girl, 15-year-old girl who was standing 10 feet away that noticed that she wasn't breathing, and she started screaming and telling her everyone around that she needed help. Two people showed up, that one was a Hindu doctor visiting from India. One was a man traveling with his family who works with high-voltage electrical, you know, wires or something, and he knows CPR because of that. And this young lady, Sophie, was traveling with her Bible choir group on a mission trip to the Grand Canyon, and I searched where they came from, and they are from Cullman, Alabama, 15 minutes away from Mother Angelica's shrine.
Oh my
and
goodness.
They wrote us a song. They sent us a song. And so there's so much prayer coming in. And what I really need is for her conversion. She believes in God, but she's taken up with the world. She's 28, and she's sort of into the moral relativism kind of mindset. But I also wanted to share something powerful with your viewers, to think that in the midst of tragedy, Jesus is there. My twin sister, Jeannie, was praying to Jesus and thanking him. And this speaks to what you were talking about earlier, about being thankful in the midst of trials. So she spoke, she was praying, and she said, "Thank you, Jesus, for sending your powerful angels to surround Evangeline in order to protect her." And no sooner had she gotten that prayer out, almost as an interruption, she got an extremely powerful voice that came into her entire body, and she heard, "I was already there."
Oh, Donna, you hear the music. We cannot pray today, you know, with you on the air, but everyone out there, all of your reversals, sufferings, and trials, you know, at every turn, offer your workday, all of this on behalf of Evangeline. Donna, you know, if you call back later, you know, tomorrow, for example, we'll pray with you on the air for your daughter. Know that she is in my prayer. She is in my rosary. You are in my rosary. I pray and thank God for the provision that he's provided thus far and for the healing that's already occurred. God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.